Yes, Miles. I was, as you know, I was up at Oma yesterday, and I heard the score line at halftime. I think it was 40-5, and hoping that that in the second half possibly it would be a bit tighter. But as it turned out, another 33 points. Derry did get a second score, but I mean that's another enormous defeat. I mean, I was reading there on the Irish website the preview of the thing that Derry had said that they had 5 or 6 of their players back after injury, and I saw the guys. Most of them all played last year, but it doesn't seem to really have mattered, Miles, because psychologically at the moment, I don't know what's going to happen, Derry. They've played 3 games in January. They've shipped 82, 71 and 73 points. I can never remember scores of that sort of magnitude before. And it certainly is not good for the club. It's certainly not good for players. And I'm sure Coach Trevor Wall doesn't really know what's going to happen. As it stands at the moment, I mean, there's no points at all, having lost those 5 points, conceding the game to Dungannon. Sunday's Wells yesterday, they got points. So they have now 16 points, third from bottom. So Harlequins, they have 6 points. And the way it's going at the moment, Derry play Harlequins, still have to play Harlequins, but their performance has improved. But I think even at this stage, you'd have to say that Derry must be candidates just to go straight down to Division 2C. Maybe if they get a victory or two, they might get into playoffs, but that's even going to be hard against teams like Sligo, who are going very, very well, and Thomond, who I saw yesterday. But overall, Miles, it's not going to get any easier. Next week, they're home to Navan, who beat them quite convincingly down in Dublin, and they have been going reasonably well. There's no easy games left as far as City Derry is concerned, and I wasn't expecting them to beat Barnhall, who I saw beat them down in Dublin, but I didn't expect a score of that magnitude, and that's going to take a wee bit of getting over as far as the team goes, because as I said, January has really been horrendous, and that's an amazing amount of points to shift in games of rugby, even in this day and age.
Okay, let's turn to Rainey, beaten away to Skerries, 20 points to 13. I suppose they'll be disappointed with that.
They will be a bit disappointed in that. They still hold their second position by quite a considerable number of points. Old Crescent really are the team that are flying in that league, and Old Crescent come to Judges Road in the near future. So again, that's not a game that Derry will be looking forward to. Rainey will be happy. Well, they'll not be happy at losing, but at least they came away with a losing bonus point. And as I say, that keeps them in a pretty secure second spot in that Division 2B. And then for a team that just has been promoted this year, they'll be delighted. I haven't seen that game when they beat Derry very convincingly. They're a very good young side, and certainly I think as the season goes on, they'll get even better. And they certainly will be looking to get promotion as far as that Division 2B is concerned.
And going to Division 2C, the game you were at yesterday, Mellon Park, Oma taking on Thomond. Tight, hard game, low scoring, not much in it.
Not much in it at all, Miles. They had a pair. The game that when Oma went down to Thomond, they won 39-32. Apparently, it was an absolute cracker of a game. And certainly the high scoring of the game down in Limerick didn't materialise yesterday. It was quite a strong wind blown at Mellon Park yesterday, which affected the game to an extent. But strangely enough, both sides playing with the wind rarely kicked the ball too much down into the corners. They were more than happy to keep playing the ball. Both sides intent on playing good running rugby and a very physical game up front. And you know, there was nothing really in the game. Oma led 3-0 very much after the kickoff, more or less. They were offside. Then Thomond came back with a try. They would lead 7-3 at half time. They had another penalty, and then Oma had a second penalty to make it 10-6. That was roughly with about 67 minutes gone. But in the last 10 minutes, Oma held field. A bit annoyed that they didn't win this game, because in 70 minutes their centre, Luke Hansen, who's a guy I hadn't seen before but looked very effective, he made an absolutely superb break from the 10-metre line, and the crowd were cheering him on as he was going over at the corner. And as he dived for the corner, the throwing player managed to tackle him and he lost possession of the ball. So that unfortunately was a knock-on, and they cleared from the scrum. And then more or less with the last action of the game, the ball was moved left, and young winger Ryan Mitchell stepped inside, looked as if he was heading for the line, he was hand tripped, and the hand trip proved to be very effective because he slid under touch, and that was it, 10-6 to Thoman. But Omar will be pleased with that game. I mean, they got a losing bonus point. Thoman, with that result yesterday, actually go top of the table, because Sligo, who are very much the team at the moment, have lost their second game in a row, and Omar has slipped down now to, I think, it's fifth or sixth place. But that particular league is very, very tight. The difference between the second from bottom and the team at the top, so make about 14-15 points. So I know every game now is going to count quite a bit. Omaha have Sea Point next week, a team that they've beaten down there, so they'll be looking for that one. But I'm impressed with the Omaha side. Certainly it was a big crowd at Omaha yesterday, and they certainly have adapted very well in their first year. And you know, take a team like Thoman, who've had a lot of experience in All-Ireland League and divisions even higher than that, only 10-6, you know, they'll be disappointed, as I say, not finishing off and that with those two runs. But nevertheless, you know, 10-6 is quite satisfactory for them.
Okay, and let's turn our attention to the local rugby, to the Championship 1. Ballyclare, good victory over Coleraine, 32-5.
Yeah, Ballyclare last year, they just lost out to Omaha, more or less. There's to win that, the Rugby Championship 1, which gives you the lead into the round robin series of all the provincial champions and the hope of getting All-Ireland League rugby. Ballyclare and Stonians, like last year, are fighting it out, and they are a very, very good side. And certainly, you know, if they get into the playoffs, they'll be very, very useful. But Coleraine, I mean, have really done very little this year. I think they're laying third bottom, and they've certainly not been, they've been hoping for a good series this year, but it hasn't allowed. But Ballyclare are a very, very good side. I remember seeing them last year against Omaha, and it was a cracking game that they just, I think they only beat Omaha by about 2 points in that particular game.
And in Division 2, Limavady back in winning ways, beating Larne by a couple of points, 15-13.
Yeah, well, they certainly, as I said, was down the week before when they took out Ballymoney, who were laying second, and you know, they played really, really well. They've got a few boys back from injury, and they're starting to get a run together. And you know, there's a long way to go in that league. I mean, obviously they're not going to be in the top two in that one, but nevertheless, that's three victories on the trot now, and that'll give Mark Nicholls' team a lot of enthusiasm now for going into the next game.
And in Championship 3, Strabane went away from home and won, beating Belfast High School 19-5.
Strabane keeping up the good work, and you know, they certainly have had a very, very good season, and you know, land third in that league, and have been very, very competitive in every game. And that was a good result, the way to Belfast High School, and that won 19-5. And also in that league as well, Miles, Letterkenny, they lost out by 17 points to 11 to Newry, and they'll get a losing bonus point. Newry, quite a strong side, and that's, I think, a third game now. Letterkenny haven't been beaten, at 1-2 and a draw there. So that's a good consistency for them, and the fact that they've gone three games without being beaten will give the young boys a lot of confidence.
And Donegal Town were beaten that same league as well. Hollywood defeated them 48-7.
Yeah, Hollywood, a very strong outfit. You know, they along with Lurgan and Strabane would probably be the three strongest sides in that particular league, you know, so that's more or less to be expected.
Regional West, really too strong for Cookstown in the Donegal-Strabane match off due to waterlogged pitch.
Yeah, well, Rennie, as you know, I mean, Rennie have a very, very, five teams, but their third team are very, very strong, as is their second. You know, they have a good depth and strength. And Kirkstown really at times, I think, struggled to put out sides. But nevertheless, they're still competing, and that's really what matters. But Rennie just too good in that section.
Okay, I suppose the next thing on the agenda, Six Nations coming up. How do you think Ireland are going to perform?
Well, I see that they have the luxury of going to Spain for a bit of hot weather climate and training, and I'm sure they thoroughly enjoyed that. And they seem to be lucky enough, Miles, in a sense that there's not a terrible lot of injuries, really. Sean O'Brien probably being the one that would give the most sort of worry about whether or not he'll be fit enough. Another injury, unfortunately, for Sean O'Brien. I mean, the way he plays the game, he's so reminiscent of Stephen Ferris. You know, they play the game at such a level and such a physical way to do it that, you know, there are injuries. But Ireland are well served in the back row. But apart from that, there's really, he's more or less, Joe Smith's really a full panel to pick from, unlike Eddie Jones. I mean, if you look at the number of injuries that Eddie Jones have and England have, Wales, of course, have a horrendous amount of injuries as well. So, you know, that's all going to take its toll come to the Six Nations. And France, again, I've noticed they have a few injuries as well, but it's going to be a very interesting game, because the first game for Joe Smith, Miles, France away, you know, on form at the moment, yes, on the way Ireland played in the autumn internationals, you would say, yes, Ireland should be favourites, but France is a funny team. You don't know, all of a sudden there's pressure on them to win, and out in France and everything, they always have a very good game at some stage, and I'm sure Joe Smith's not hoping that they will, but knowing the way he prepares the side, and with the nucleus of players that Ireland have at the moment, I mean, you know, it's without doubt the strongest squad Ireland have ever had, and you know, there's so many players to pick from. It'll be interesting to see just what he comes up with. Forward wise, I mean, they're in a great position, and behind the scrum as well, there's a lot of talent. I mean, who's he going to pick in the centre? You know, is he going to go with Gary Ringrose, who's just come back? Is he going to go with Bondi Aki? But I have a strange suspicion, Miles, if he may hold Ringrose back, because he hasn't played too many games. I have a strange suspicion he could well go with Chris Farrell, the former Five Mile Town guy. He is a big animal, 6'5" and 17 stone. And, you know, it'll be interesting just to see exactly what happens. But to have all those guys in the mix is going to make it very, very interesting. The out-half position probably is the one. He may decide to put Joey Carberry in that one, or will he sort of? You don't know really, because there's not a lot of people holding their hand up in that particular position, and we know against the French that they will certainly target Johnny Sexton, and hopefully that he will come through that well, because the last thing you need in the first game of Six Nations is Sexton to get an injury or concussion and then miss out in a couple of games after that. But all in all, Miles, it'll be interesting to see who Joe Smith picks. Will he pick young Stockdale on the wing, or will he hold him back to some of the other games and go with the experience of maybe Keith Ayres and McFadden? Who's he going to play at full back? Will Rob Kearney come in? He hasn't really played that much rugby, and but he is a man for the big occasion, and maybe against the French, that's what they do. Interesting that he made the point. I think you may have seen it. I think it was last week. But Simon Zeebo wasn't in the squad, not because he was going to France, but because he didn't think he was playing well enough to be in the squad.
Yeah, he hadn't.
Which was quite interesting, because everybody took it the other way.
Uh-huh. Well, that was a story, that he didn't play particularly well in France against Racing in 92. Mm-hmm. So whether that's the story or not, but...
He'd be playing for Racing next year anyway, so it doesn't really matter in that one. But all in all, mate, it's building up well. As I say, you just don't know at this moment in time, but certainly up front, I mean, you'd have to think that the Ireland front five are surely going to be a match for anybody, and as is in the back row. And it'll be interesting to see, will Jack Conan finally get maybe a run out at number 8? I mean, he's been there now this last 2 years, and certainly he has been playing tremendous stuff for Leinster. So it just depends on what permutations with the Brown out. Will he go with him or will he not?
Well, it's hardly going to drop CJ Stander. I suppose it's the wing forward positions that are maybe open for grabs.
Yeah, well, of course, Stander can play in the flank if he wants. You know, he may want to go with a three, because really, in the modern day game, it's the number 8 basically is the man who packs down the scrum. But apart from that, Miles, he's everywhere else around the pitch in that one. And as I say, there's so many back row forwards for Ireland. The second row will be interesting as well. You know, because the two Connacht locks have been playing very well. Young James Ryan, of course, has come through very, very quickly as well. And Henderson and Devon Toner. There's so much competition. And, I mean, the front row tag for Lauren Best. Is it Jack McGrath? Is it Cian Healy? Again, it's a great position for Ireland to be in, because I think about 2 years ago you and I were talking, if Mike Ross got injured, what was going to happen? And all of a sudden now there's tight head props coming from everywhere.
There sure are. And overall, Alec, would you think that Ireland can win this Six Nation Grand Slam and all the rest?
I think it's very possible, Miles. But I think it all depends. As I say, France away and England away in the last game. So, your game's 1-5 against the two probably hardest sides. And you've Italy, you have Wales, and you have Scotland at the Aviva. you would like to think that those three games with home advantage and with the crowd behind them, that those three games are winnable. I think that Ireland's record at Twickenham is a bit up and down, and it's not as strong as it would be at the Aviva. My one worry, Miles, would be that I would worry what way the French turn out. You know what they're like. One day they can be absolutely brilliant, or they could absolutely turn out and not really want to play. That, I think, is a big one. And psychologically, every other way, I think that's the game that Ireland have to gear. If Ireland can come away from Paris with a victory, then I think what you've asked me, I think, is possible. But, I mean, you know, we know what the French are like. But at the same time, man for man, Ireland probably are just as strong, if not stronger. And hopefully that will be the case. But it's important that the game in Paris is done and dusted. And then it's a matter of sit down then and get on with the rest of it.